Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. It's September 18th, 2019. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can email us at radionaturopath@gmail.com. You can also call us at 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. All right. So we've been focusing on Ron and his Lyme, and I think that he's doing... I mean, you're in a holding pattern right now, right?
I would say I'm kind of on hold, yeah. I mean, it's okay. I mean, I'm still having knee problems. I'm still having issues in my joints.
Yes, and now I'm having knee problems.
Welcome to my world.
Yes, I know. It's really delightful. So I just, this is one of those, I cannot even believe that I did this. I like to work out, and I like to get a workout in before work. And it could be as simple as a walk, you know, it could, but sometimes it could be, on Tuesday and Thursday mornings in the winter, I go to Ron's spin class, but in the summer, I'll go for a swim or I'll go for a walk pretty much. And that's what I like to do. Well, it was raining last Thursday and there was threat of thunder and lightning and they closed the pool when that happens. So I didn't want to go outside. So I thought, you know, what do I tell people? When you want to do exercise, you don't ever want to be caught short. So you always want to be prepared to exercise outdoors, something you want to do outside, and especially if it's easily done outside your home, something that you do indoors that's not inside your home, and something that you can do inside your home, because sometimes it's not practical to leave your home. So I chose this, let's do something inside the home. And I got Ron to set up the DVD player for me. And I have some DVDs and I have this nice workout. It's a dance workout. Unfortunately, the dance workout includes jumping. I did not have to jump when I did the workout, but I did. And I was not accustomed to jumping. I was also accustomed to riding. You know, I had a lot of miles on my legs. I'm very strong right now. It's late season, so I have a lot of fitness. And so, you know, I'm capable of riding a century if I wanted to. And I chose to spend an hour doing a workout that included jumping. Well, 2 days later, we got on the bikes. We went to Virginia this weekend, and we were in the Shenandoah Valley. Got on a bike ride for a short ride. I went, my left knee's not right. And it hurt. And I said, okay, when I get off the bike, we're going to tape it. So we taped it and I thought it was going to be okay. And then I was going to do the Grand Fondo and ride 80 miles. And I decided, you know what, that's probably not a good idea. So we taped it and I rode the Medio Fondo, which was 51 miles. And after I rode the Medio Fondo, my knee was blown up. So hooray. Mm. And then I was having trouble walking. So yippee. So
what
here I am.
With that.
The same thing that happened to me in late June and early July of last year. Same thing. I did unaccustomed impact, and it was from dancing. And it makes me very sad because it means I have to be careful of dancing, and dancing is something I love to do. But I can't like not dance for a long time and then suddenly get back into it, especially with a lot of impact, because my knees just can't handle it. My knees can handle a century ride. They can't handle jumping up and down. They can't handle jumping jacks. That's really frustrating when you get to that point in your life, but there it is. So the first thing we did was we taped it, and then of course we had to sit in the car from Virginia to Connecticut on Monday, which is probably the worst thing for it, because keeping it immobile in a way that you can't like move around and adjust. Like when they talk about rest ice elevation compression, they're talking about, you know, you elevate the leg, and if you have to change positions, you change positions, but you pay attention to what's going on with the leg. And if what you need is to stretch it out and move it around, that's what you do. But when you're in the car, it's very hard to do that. You're stuck in a seat that's at a certain conformation. It doesn't really work. So, I came back and my knee was pretty bad. So we decided to keep it taped. And we found a nice way to tape it that focused on, you know, medial stabilization. And I went swimming yesterday, and it did feel fine in the water, and I was able to swim. But then I spent the day at my office mostly sitting in a position where the focus is I have to sit in a position that's good for talking to patients and sitting at a computer, not one that's necessarily good for my knee. Then this position where you're sitting in a chair with your legs down, I don't think this is a good position for this condition. And I found that out. And then this morning I decided I was going to go for a ride, but go for a very easy spin, go slow and crawl up hills and no big hills. And while I was on the bike, my knee felt really good. And right after the bike, it felt really good. It's just load bearing that seems to be the problem. So I'm going to have to really take care of it. I'm going to go see the chiropractor after I'm done here. And on Friday, I'm going to go get acupuncture. And depending on what the chiropractor says, I'll continue to ride, but at a very easy level. It'll just be spinning, because while I'm on the bike, it actually feels good because it's moving the joint around. I don't think it's the joint. I think I sprained a ligament or two. It's the collateral ligaments. It's behaving like a lateral collateral, and I'm not sure if it's the medial side or the lateral side because it seems to be moving back and forth. I'm pretty sure there's a spot on the lateral side. When I press it, it's sore. And it's less sore on the medial side, but the pain sort of moves around a little bit, which makes me concerned. But it didn't start until I danced, so I'm assuming it's injured. And so now I have to rehab the knee. Good times. Hmm. So what am I going to do? Lots of tape. I really like taping. I like using tape because the tape moves with you, whereas when I use a brace, the brace immobilizes and it doesn't conform to my body as well as the tape does. And the neat thing is you can get videos online that show you exactly how to tape whatever part that's bothering you. There's physical therapists who are schooled in the use of kinesio tape, and they tell you and they show you exactly how to put it on. And the videos are very useful. So we do that. And then I'm going to take anti-inflammatories and also things to rebuild the joint. So I have a product called Arthrobin. The Arthrobin has flavocoxids in it, which are bioflavonoids that reduce inflammation. And the neat thing about them is they reduce reduce COX and LOX equally, so they don't give you they don't burn your stomach like NSAIDs do. So I won't be taking NSAIDs because I don't do well with NSAIDs. They all make me sick. But I will be taking the Arthrobin. I'm also taking CBD. I have CBD. I have a salve that has CBD in it. It has a lot of menthol in it. It has menthol and camphor, which has that cooling sensation. But it also has CBD. So I'm going to put it on topically and locally and see if that helps. And I'm going to take it internally as well. I'm going to take curcumin, which is a nice, anti-inflammatory extract of turmeric. So I'll see if that helps to get inflammation down. I'll take magnesium to keep the muscle soft. I'm going to take EFAC. EFAC is really more for the joints. EFAC is esterified fatty acids, and that helps to actually rebuild and lubricate joints more than it does ligaments, but I'll do that too. The collagen peptides that are in the Arthrobin can directly help to rebuild soft tissue. So that's probably going to be a real help between the anti-inflammation and the Arthrobin helping to rebuild the tissue with the collagen. That's going to be helpful. I'm going to try to get as much rest as I can, but rest is difficult because I have to work. And the hard thing about working is sitting in a position that's not a really great position. So I find that, moving the joint, even if it's just a little bit, like while I'm sitting here talking to you, if I stretch the joint out and straighten it out and, just move it back and forth a little bit, that's better than just keeping it still. And this sitting, because I'm in that position of sitting in a chair at a computer right now. Mm-hmm. And that's really not a good position for this.
No, sitting is a problem. And if you sit in a car all day long, also, it's a bit of an issue.
Yes. Yeah, I find that as well. So, Yeah, unless you can, and you have to get up and stretch and move around. Every time you get up from standing, that's the worst thing. If I've been sitting and then I get up from sitting, that's the worst thing. That's when it hurts the most. Once I get moving, it's okay. So today I'm going to go for chiropractic, and I think at the chiropractor, what he'll do is he'll adjust my knee, and he'll align the ligaments as much as he can. He'll see if I have any back stuff that's out of alignment, and he will adjust my meniscus. He tells me my meniscus goes out of alignment, and he'll put that back in. And I'll have him check my other knee too. My other knee's not nearly as bad, and that's the one I injured last year. So I managed to injure the opposite knee this year. Good times, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then on Friday, I'm going to get acupuncture. And acupuncture is good for setting things right and helping with pain and helping with inflammation. So I'm excited that I'm going to be able to do those things. And then as long as I'm cleared to do easy rides, I will only be doing easy rides, you know, of no more than an hour and change. And, you know, with very little climbing, or if I do climb, I have to crawl up the hills. But if I do climb, they can't be steep grades. I found today that when I was climbing hills, my legs are very strong, so I could stay in the saddle and climb whatever I needed to climb. And as long as I kept my alignment, there was no pain. It was really, it's amazing. There was no pain while I was on the bike.
Were you running a pretty fast cadence or just kind of did that matter?
I wasn't paying attention, but I'm sure I wasn't slugging, because that would make no sense. You know, I was trying to keep my gears very low and, you know, pedal. My cadence tends to be on the fast side anyway. I mean, it's not super fast, so I wasn't going super fast, but, you know, I certainly wasn't trying to slug at all. I was trying to keep load off my legs as much as possible. That seems to be the key. If I'm going to go on the bike, I don't want load. It would probably actually be better to just sit on a stationary bike.
Yeah,
where you
probably
can completely control it. Yeah. It's just that's depressing, and it's going to be gorgeous the next few days.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're looking at we're going to have the equinox is Monday, and we're going to have a heat wave.
Mm.
It's going to get really warm
this
weekend.
That?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Kind of cool, actually.
That'll be interesting. Kind of warm, too.
Kind of warm, too.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho.
Right. So massage can be helpful for this, too. I was talking with a friend yesterday, and she has some experience in physical therapy, and we were trying to figure out exactly where, because I haven't been directly diagnosed because I haven't been to a practitioner yet, but we were talking about where it could be, and she suggested it might be an IT band, and she said, do you have a lot of pain and bruise sensation when you touch your IT band? So the IT band, IT stands for iliotibial band, and tensor fascia lata muscle is a muscle that is part of the iliotibial band, and it's on the side of your leg, on the side of your thigh, and runners frequently get very tight IT bands. And mine isn't particularly tight because I foam roll it a lot. I'm not sure. It's not particularly tight. Like, if you dig into my IT band, it doesn't bother me. So she said, when you dig into it, I said, go ahead. So she did. She grabbed in onto my IT band. And I was like, that's fine. No problem. So she said, all right, it's probably not your IT band. It's probably more likely a ligament, a sprain. So, and the other possibility is a meniscus. But my understanding with the meniscus, when you tear your meniscus, your leg tends to lock. You tend to not be able to bend it. And that's not the case with me. And the pain seems to be on the sides. It's both. And sometimes it's medial. Like right now, it's a little more sore on the medial side. Go figure. It was more sore on the lateral side yesterday. That's very weird.
I'll tell you, I started taping after I taped your knee.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Ron has to tape Fran's knee.
Yeah.
After I taped your knee, I taped my own knee the same way, because I was having the same problem with the pain in the inside of the knee, which just generally doesn't seem to want to ever go away.
Yeah.
So I did that, and it was a remarkable difference.
Yeah.
I mean, I still, if I sit still for a long time, then it definitely gets stiff. And I find if I just extend my leg out, even when I'm driving, you probably saw me doing that far too many times because we were driving home. But I'm always stretching my leg out.
You're never still. You being still is not a thing.
Okay.
You are never still. You are never still. You sitting. Ron sitting still is that. That's not that. That's an incorrect statement. You just don't do it. Sitting when you're lying in bed, you move around. You shake. You're shaking your legs. You're moving around. I'm guessing that you're a restless sleeper, because the bed seems to be a lot more still after you get out of it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. You're just never still. You have a jangly nervous system.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's part of the ADHD or I don't know.
I don't know.
I guess you just have a. You're one of those people that has to move constantly, and I'm not like that. So I find that jarring sometimes. You know, I'm much more of a lump. In fact, when I was a baby, they said I was hypotonic. But
what does that mean?
Means that I didn't move a lot.
Oh.
I didn't like to move a lot. And I think lying around is something I still enjoy doing very much. And yet I have come to, as I grew up, it's like, well, you move when you need to move. And when you don't need to move, you stay still, because staying still feels good. But if you have to move, then you move. So the joke is that I have two speeds, full tilt and dead.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. So it was pretty interesting having to walk from the parking garage here, you know, because I had to hoof it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what's going on. So I'm going to try different things, and I'll keep you posted as to how I'm doing and what works. And I'm psyched to go. I'm going to go the chiropractor today, and I'm sure that he's going to adjust me in a way that's going to make it feel better. And I'm done exercising for the day, so I can relax a little bit more. And you're going to take the laundry basket downstairs.
Yes, dear.
Yeah. So that'll be a good thing.
See how nicely I responded to that.
Yeah, you're very good. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well trained.
So yeah, tendons, nerves.
Mm.
I mean, and I don't know that this is. I'm not sure how I could have avoided this, except that I know that I can't suddenly do impact without training for it, which makes me wonder if I'll be able to do the Manchester Road Race this year. Oh, we're already signed up for it.
Well, you know, yeah, it's a long way from now.
Yes,
until Thanksgiving. So, you know, we've definitely got a ways to take a look and see if you're going to heal. And, you know, you've got some work you can do between now and then.
That's true.
And, you know, the Manchester Road Race, I mean, you can shuffle it, you can walk it, you can.
Yeah,
just,
that's
just
right.
The fact that you're there.
If we have to walk it, we'll walk it.
35 years, I got to keep up the tradition,
I know. Yeah, and I'll be able to walk it, even if I have to walk it on crutches. But I'm not going to need crutches by then. I'm hoping that I'm a good bit better by the weekend. But we'll see. Last time, I feel like I hurt my knee worse last time because I was not able to. Is that your recollection, that it was in worse shape last time?
I think so.
Yeah. I would not have been able to get back on my bike like I did.
Mm.
But he only had me off the bike for a week and a half. And then he said, go back on your bike and do easy spinning. And then 3 weeks out, I was able to go ride, 50 miles again. So, but I think I'm done with. I don't know. I mean, I want to say I'm done with metrics for the year. You know, I'm done with longer rides for the year. But we'll see. Maybe I'll be better in November. I don't know. And, of course, it'll be cold. But then we go on the rail trail. It'll be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we have so many rail trail options now. It's really great.
We do. We have so many more than we used to. Sure.
Yeah. So let's talk about vaping.
Yeah, let's talk about vaping.
Vaping is
seems
a huge,
to be a thing right now.
Well, the state of New York actually banned flavored vape juice.
I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah, good for
them. Because the idea there is that the flavors, you know, they come in cute flavors like cotton candy and bubble gum and, you know, caramel action and fruity, whatever, tutti frutti and whatever. So the problem with that is that it attracts kids. And teenagers.
Right.
So that means that kids are going to be more likely to vape. And so there's a problem with vaping. And we all thought that vaping would be safer than smoking cigarettes because you're no longer inhaling burning hydrocarbons.
Right.
But it's not, because you still have the issue of nicotine addiction and all of the issues with nicotine addiction. You have to remember that nicotine is a neurotoxin. You take enough of it and you will die. But in the meantime, it stimulates the nervous system. you know, and that's what it does. Nicotine bonds to specific receptors in your nervous system, and it's involved in all sorts of things. It's involved in the acetylcholine neurotransmitter system, and it stimulates the receptors, what's called the nicotinic receptors of the acetylcholine system. And so it's when the nicotine bonds, it makes you, it tends to dry things out, to slow down secretions, to slow down digestion, that sort of thing. Whereas when you don't have that on board, you're going to have, things are just going to happen faster. It puts you more into fight or flight versus rest and digest. Although people do find that, if they don't have their cigarette, they get anxious, and having the cigarette calms them down. But if you have too much of it, it is deadly. It's toxic. That's not the only problem with vaping. The thing is, you're repeatedly inhaling something into your lungs that you're not supposed to, that you're not supposed to inhale. And it's not burning, but it's still heated up. And so e-juice has mostly glycerin, nicotine, and the flavoring. And then the flavoring has all kinds of stuff in it. And the flavoring is generally considered safe to eat, although there's chemicals in it, but probably not safe to inhale. And when the liquids heat up, because there is some heat that happens when you vape, it's just that it's not burning. When the liquids heat up, they make toxic chemicals. So you're inhaling these toxic chemicals into the lungs that can cause damage to the lungs. So you're going to cause oxidative damage to the lungs. You've got formaldehyde and acetaldehyde. So formaldehyde is something that preserves, that you use it to preserve specimens that you're going to dissect, or, you know, preserve cadavers, or preserve parts that you're going to, that you're going to use or look at later. Acetaldehyde. So what an aldehyde is, nature doesn't love an aldehyde. Aldehydes are not very stable. So the term aldehyde means that in the compound, you have two carbons that are bonded to each other. When carbon bonds to another carbon, carbon has four spots that it can bond to another chemical or another element. Carbon would really like it if it was only, if it's all of its bonds were bonded singly to one thing. So when you have methane, there's four places that the carbon can bond, and they'll all be attached to they're all going to be attached to a hydrogen, and that's methane. So there's four of those bonds. Each one has a hydrogen, so the compound is CH4, and that's a happy little molecule. It's very stable. It's probably not going to fall apart. But it does burn well. But it's pretty stable. It's not going to come apart. Then you get to compounds that have two of the carbon bonds are bonded to the same thing. So you have what's called a double bond. Mm-hmm. And so when you have acetone in it has a double bond in it, and it's a little less stable than it's a little bit less stable than just methane. So formic acid. So now you're getting into a place where you have a double bond. You have two carbons that are bonded together, and they're bonded twice. And nature's not real thrilled with that, and that bond can be broken. Now, when you get into aldehydes, you have, so formaldehyde is basically, it's triple bonded to another carbon. It's the simplest, it's the simplest aldehyde there is. So it has three bonds to another carbon plus a hydrogen group, and that's formaldehyde. And when you get acetaldehyde, then it has three carbons. I hope I'm getting my chemistry right. But anyway, there's a triple bond in there, and it's very unstable. So that triple bond tends to break. One of the bonds tends to break, and now you have free radicals. So you know where a common place you get acetaldehyde is? It's when you drink alcohol. When you drink alcohol, if you drink enough alcohol, what your body has to do is it has to metabolize the alcohol. And there's a step going from, you know, from alcohol, from ethyl alcohol, down to carbon dioxide and water. And an intermediary in that step is acetaldehyde. So acetaldehyde, because it's unstable, it causes free radical damage. So if you've got acetaldehyde in your brain, you're killing brain cells and you're killing other parts of your body. So if you drink a little alcohol at a time, your alcohol dehydrogenase, there'll only be a little bit of alcohol that your body has to deal with. And the antioxidant elements in your body are going to take care of any free radical damage. So if you have just a very small glass of wine and you sip it slowly, you're going to be metabolizing the alcohol fast enough that it's not going to do any damage to you. But if you drink a lot of alcohol all at once, your enzymes can't keep up. And so you get this partial metabolizing. And so because there's not enough molecules, there's not enough enzymatic molecules to take care of those aldehydes, you get some aldehydes that are hanging around and then they start causing free radical damage. So anyway, now in vape juice, you're breathing these aldehydes into your lungs. There's formaldehyde and acetaldehyde, and you're breathing them into your lungs. So now you're causing lung damage. There's also another compound called acrolein. And then there's heavy metals, or there's various metals, including heavy metals. So, you know, there's heavy metals in cigarette smokes, and that has to do with how it's processed. But you can get tin, nickel, cadmium, and lead and mercury. That's found in e-cigarettes. And that's a problem with regular cigarettes, too. Yes.
Is that because of the dispenser?
I am not sure.
And it's leaching somehow?
I'm wondering if that's part of it. And part of it is what's in the vape juice, that it's just there's tobacco in the vape juice.
Okay.
So that it's depending how the tobacco is treated. We know that there's heavy metals in cigarettes. There's arsenic and cadmium in regular cigarettes. So it's probably in the original tobacco that they use to make the vape juice. So depending on how they're treated. And it's possible that the tin and nickel are from the contraption as well. But these are all catalysts for hydrogenation. And so you're going to get all kinds of free radical damage from those things. And the thing with vape is that there is less harm from secondhand smoking because you're not breathing out smoke that's going to carry over that somebody else is going to inhale. But what they found with the people who are getting sick from vaping. They're getting this what they're calling a mysterious illness. What they're getting mostly is lipoid pneumonia. And I said, I listened to what's going on and these people are getting this horrible pneumonias. And then they go in and they find that there's no bacteria in the pneumonia, but they still have pneumonia. I'm like, oh, well, they have lipoid pneumonia. And they're getting pneumoconiosis. Because they're inhaling something into the lungs that they shouldn't be inhaling.
So vaping is causing something known as popcorn lung.
That too. All right.
Okay,
so the popcorn lung is going to be...
It's a rare medical condition that damages the bronchioles and the lung's smallest airways. Over time, inflammation associated with popcorn lung causes lung tissues and airways to scar and narrow, causing breathing difficulties.
Right. Of course.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's getting
very,
to the bronchioles because you're breathing it down. So the bronchioles. When you have lungs, you have your bronchi. And then the bronchi, first you have your trachea, and your trachea is what comes right from your throat. And then it branches into the bronchi, two branches that go down into your lungs. And then the lungs branch into bronchioles, and then they get really small, and they get and they become alveoli, which is where you actually do your gas exchange. And so they're getting damage to the bronchioles. So breathing is going to become more difficult and you're going to have less breathing passages. You're going to have less places for gas exchange as these things get damaged. So what they're looking at, there was a study where they looked at five patients in two different hospitals in North Carolina. Two were vaping marijuana and three were vaping nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
They had worsening dyspnea, which is shortness of breath. They had nausea, vomiting, abdominal discomfort, and fever. And all of the patients had tachypnea, which means they're breathing fast. And the work of breathing was more difficult, too. And they had hypoxemia, which means they had low, their pulse oximetry was low, and less than 90% on room air. And then they had infiltrates that you could see on the x-ray. They all had elevated white blood count with a neutrophilic predominance. So they had a lot of neutrophils. Neutrophils are blood cells that will rise when you have inflammation. They'll usually rise when you have an infection. There was no eosinophilia. So eosinophils are white blood cells that will be active when you have an allergic reaction. So when generally when you have asthma, you'll get an increase in eosinophils. So they didn't
I was just reading about it worsens asthma symptoms.
Well, sure.
Vaping does.
Yeah.
As well as the other thing. Well, there's a few things, but go ahead.
Of course it does. It's going to work anything.
It's amazing.
If you have
asthma, you should not be vaping.
Shouldn't be vaping. You shouldn't be smoking.
Of course. Yeah, right.
You shouldn't be inhaling stuff into your lungs that you shouldn't be inhaling.
Get this. Secondhand vaping aerosols linked to childhood asthma.
Oh, so there is a problem with secondhand vaping.
Yeah, I'm pulling all sorts of interesting things up.
Makes sense because people get lipoid pneumonia, or they get these compounds in their lungs and the lungs don't like it and they set up an inflammatory response. That's what happens. So they gave these patients antibiotics. They gave ceftriaxone and azithromycin or another fluoroquinolone. Ceftriaxone is a cephalosporin. It's sort of related to penicillin. And azithromycin, which is, I'm not sure if it's a macrolide or fluoroquinolone. Anyway, so they thought they had pneumonia, but they still got sicker. They didn't have a bacterial pneumonia. And they did blood and sputum cultures, and they tested them for influenza, mycoplasma, and legionella, and nothing came up. None of the pathogens that usually give you pneumonia were in their infiltrates. So when they did the CTs, they showed that diffuse basal or predominant infiltrates with ground glass opacity. So there's this this look in the lungs like ground glass. And so ground glass, you'll see lesions that look like ground glass. When people have sarcoidosis, and they'll also have nodules, they call tree and bud infiltrates. So they look like little trees, which is probably similar. And I said that, but similar to the autoimmune disease of sarcoidosis. That's exactly right. So it's sort of an autoimmune response, and it's not actually a response like you would get to a microorganism. So they had three patients who did bronchoscopy with bronchi, and they pulled out stuff from their bronchioles and their alveoli, and they saw neutrophils, lymphocytes, and vacuole-laden macrophages. So the macrophages, all these white blood cells, are trying to do work to clean out the lungs, but there was no bleeding and there were no eosinophils. Like I said, eosinophils are a cell that you will see in asthma or allergies. They didn't do the biopsies. They said they're so when they stained what they lavaged out of the lungs, it showed that they had extensive lipid within the macrophages. So they had lipoid pneumonia. They were so what that is you're inhaling fats from the air, and it's sitting in your lungs. And your lungs don't know what to do with it. Your lungs try to get rid of it. It causes inflammation because your lungs go after it. But it's not something that can be killed because it's just fat or it's just a lipid. It's just something that shouldn't be there. So that's what they found, that these people had lipoid pneumonia. So I don't know why they keep saying it's mysterious. It's not mysterious. They're inhaling this oily substance into their lungs.
Yeah.
And they're getting lipoid pneumonia. And so what you do for that is you give them steroids. And so that's all you can do. You give them steroids. So they were given methylprednisolone, and then they were given a taper of oral prednisone at home. And it's all because of aerosolized oils breathed into the lungs. And you're not supposed to breathe oil in your lungs. Also, vitamin E acetate was found in marijuana, but not in nicotine vapes, and it's very sticky and will stay in the lungs and block alveoli. So vitamin E, it's not bad for you per se. It's just that vitamin E is very sticky. If you ever get yourself some vitamin E oil, like you want to use vitamin E oil to heal a scar or something, women can use vitamin E oil topically for vaginal dryness. Anyway, but you can use it for different applications to heal stuff on your skin. Vitamin E is very sticky. So if you get vitamin E into your lungs, you're not going to breathe it out easily. Mm. So you get lipoid pneumonia. So by the way, it's not a good idea to vape marijuana either. So there's going to be less toxic stuff in the marijuana, but the point is not, so you're going to get all these toxic chemicals in the vape juice. You're probably going to, if you have very pure marijuana oil and you're vaping it, you're probably not looking at a lot of toxicity, but what you're looking at is the fact that you're inhaling oil. And when you get oil into your lungs, you're not supposed to have oil in your lungs, and your lungs are going to try to go after it. It's going to cause inflammation. You heard all these white blood cells go in. When white blood cells go chase after something, what they're doing is they're mounting an inflammatory response because they think there's something in the lungs that they have to fight. It's just your body taking care of you. So if you inhale oil, it's not going to be good. So lipoid pneumonia is, it's an inflammatory response to the presence of oils in the lungs. That's what it is. So people like to have this habit of smoking. And I don't know what to say because, you know, smoking is generally considered to be bad for you. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's okay if you had a totally organic cigar that you smoked once in a while. Is that going to be really bad for you? I don't know. It's probably better not to do it, but people are going to do it. As in terms of cannabis, it seems clear that if you're going to either enjoy cannabis or you're using cannabis medicinally, you know, people use cannabis. They use marijuana, but you know, THC containing cannabis for help with psychiatric issues, and it does help them. But you're putting yourself at risk of lipoid pneumonia when you do that. So vaping isn't a good idea. There are other ways to ingest the cannabis. So smoking, as much fun it is to smoke or use a bong or smoke a pipe, it's probably not the best thing for you. Although I would say that probably using a pipe is safer than vaping marijuana, because you run the risk of lipoid pneumonia. At least when you are inhaling something burning, you can exhale it. My concern is always when you inhale anything that's burning, that especially if it's a plant, you have burning hydrocarbons. So you could be inhaling polyaromatic hydrocarbons, which cause free radical damage, and because they cause free radical damage, they put you at risk for cancer. I think marijuana, when you smoke it, it has more antioxidants in it and has less toxic chemicals in it, as long as you're getting pharmaceutical grade marijuana or you are getting it from a trusted source. And I don't recommend doing illegal stuff, okay? I don't recommend driving to Massachusetts and bringing marijuana into Connecticut because it's legal right in Massachusetts. It's not legal here. So don't do that.
Correct.
All right? Don't do illegal stuff. Right. So so if you have illegal cannabis, I am not anti-cannabis. And if you have a card and you're in Connecticut and you're using cannabis legally, I think it's fine. But I don't advocate using cannabis illegally because you're putting yourself at risk for being arrested. Do I think that cannabis should be illegal? Yes. Do I think cannabis should be legal? Yes, I do. But because Massachusetts, it's legal. But should it be illegal? Should you have it on you in this state if you don't have a cannabis card? No, I don't think you should. It's not a good idea. CBD is over the counter and it's legal in the state. Of course, you still have to think about the fact that all hemp products, you know, CBD and THC containing products are still illegal at the federal level. But in the state of Connecticut, you can, if you have a card, you can have cannabis and, you know, THC
Many
legally
states.
With a card.
There's quite a few states yes. now, actually.
But you, yep. So anyway, if you're vaping marijuana and if you're vaping e-cigarettes, it's not good for you. You can get lipoid pneumonia and you don't know if you're going to be that person who's going to get the lipoid pneumonia. And lipoid pneumonia is weird because it's not like you can take an antibiotic and cure it, because it's not an infection. What it is you're inhaling oils into the lungs, oils and glycerin and fat. into the lungs. Your lungs see it. They say that's not supposed to be there, and they mount an immune response, and they can't kill it. When you at least when you have pneumonia, your white blood cells are going after a target. They're going after a virus, or they're going after a bacteria, which will eventually die, and your macrophages will then go clean them up, and then eventually you get well. But with lipoid pneumonia, it's much harder to do. You basically have to, you could die from it. And, you know, then some people, if they get the lipoid pneumonia, they're at risk of respiratory failure and death. So what you wind up having to do is a powerful anti-inflammatory like methylprednisolone and prednisone, and you reduce the inflammation. Your body's trying to clean it up, but, you know, it's inflaming so much, it's just working against itself. So you just have to get rid of the inflammation, and then we hope you'll ultimately breathe out the lipids that are in your lungs. And you probably will once the inflammation goes down. But don't keep throwing back more lipid into your lungs. Not a good idea, right? So vaping, there you have it.
It doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good.
It's really
just another delivery system, which was quote unquote, you know, marketed from
that it's safer and
that
more
safer
helpful.
And
it isn't.
And it's not. And, you know, there's a statement I was flipping through here, and there was a statement from the FDA commissioner. They're doing a lot of studies on this right now. They're very concerned about it because of the effects that it's having on people. So there's, it's not good. It's just not a good thing.
No.
So.
No. So we thought that vaping was going to be safer than smoking cigarettes. It does not appear to be. And, because you have this risk of getting lipoid pneumonia. And the other piece is that, we thought that it's better because of secondhand smoke. The person who's vaping doesn't smell the way that the person smoking cigarettes smells, and doesn't cause you to smell and your drapes and your carpet and your couch and whatever else is going on. But you're telling me now that people, that the children are getting asthma from inhaling secondhand vape.
So, believe it or not, I mean, it seems hard to believe because there's just not a lot. It's not like there's a huge cloud of smoke, although there are two different types of vape juice, two different types of e-juice. Where did I see that? There's PG and there's VG. And the PG is the
polyethylene glycol. Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the VG is vegetable glycerin.
Uh-huh.
So
right.
There's two different types.
Yes.
And the vegetable glycerin generally makes up about 80 to 90% of vape juice. Most producers substitute this product because it's typically delivering a bigger, denser cloud of vapor, which is more popular amongst users. So it looks like you're smoking more.
Yeah.
And VG is an alcohol, and it's manufactured without use of any oil products. This is an entirely vegetable-based product.
Right.
It's a newer material. Some of the older vaporizers may experience difficulty with the atomizers that they're trying to use. Blah,
but
blah,
people
blah.
Are still getting the lipoid but pneumonia with the VG, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
So, the PG produces better throat hit, thinner consistency than the VG, less gunk and residue than the VG, has no impact on the flavor. The VG produces a bigger vapor cloud, thicker consistency than PG, more gunk and residue than PG, sweeter than PG, and may have an impact on flavor.
Well, glycerin is sweet. If you taste glycerin, it's sweet.
It's leaving more gunk in your lungs.
Sure, that makes
sense.
So
it's sticky. In which case, it's more of a contaminant, I would think, to your lungs.
So the VG is going to be more likely to give you the lipoid pneumonia.
I think so. And it's 80 to 90% of the use right now because people want to see the big cloud.
But does the PG really still give you the lipoid pneumonia? I would think it still would.
I would think it would. Yeah.
Because you're still inhaling something into your lungs that you shouldn't be.
I found a whole page on really interesting things about the vape juice.
Yeah.
What's vape juice? Oh, God. So PG is is one of the main ingredients in the e-liquid vape juice. And considered one of the most popular refills as well for consumer products. It is a humidifier, and it delivers a strong vapor for use with in some pharmaceuticals, vape juices, and food products. PG is a, from vape juice is a product that can be easily ingested, brushed onto products, and then and used in vape juices. It also works with enhancing flavors, leaving a stronger taste in the back of the throat. Does not currently, it is less dense than VG, and it does not pose a health risk to humans. So PG is generally safe for inhalation or swallowing. Only a small percentage of the population are affected negatively by PG use.
So it's the VG that's most doing most of the lipoid pneumonia stuff.
The VG seems to be it. And then it says here the cons on that is it can produce less visible vapor than VG, so it isn't ideal for massive clouds.
Right.
So I think it's the VG that's the problem, and that's the one that's being consumed more than the
yes,
PG
Yes, way
is.
More. Right.
So right. There you have it.
I see. So if people would use the polyethylene glycol, they'd be less likely to get the lipoid pneumonia. But what I'm wondering is, will they still get it from the polyethylene glycol?
Or find a more productive habit, like ride your bike.
Right.
You know?
Or play a silly
video
game.
Or go for a walk or do something. But, gosh, why do you need to do this? I mean, I know people like to do it for various reasons. I understand.
Yeah.
But it,
well,
it just
especially
seems...
the cannabis people are doing cannabis for
well,
their
the
health.
Cannabis people can ingest it.
Yes,
now.
They can.
They don't have to put it into their lungs
that's
anymore.
That's right.
You know, that's there's other ways.
Yeah, I think doing edibles is the way to. And if you want to get the immediate hit, then you get an oil delivery system that you put under your tongue. You just put
sure.
it under your tongue and you eat it that way. And I'm sure they can enhance it. Like, you know, because we have in the nutraceutical industry, we have all kinds of stuff that can enhance absorption. So if you put it, if you make emulsions, if you use phosphatidylcholine, if you water disperse, there's ways to make fatty substances more absorbable. And I'm sure they could find a way to make it more absorbable if you just put it under your tongue. Because when you put stuff under your tongue, you've got some nice readily available blood vessels there where you can, you get a mucous membrane absorption. And then, because the thing is when you eat, the thing is when you smoke cannabis or marijuana, when you smoke something, it's burning. Now you have the constituents that you're looking for and you're inhaling them into your lungs. And your lungs have a lot of blood vessels in them. So you get the effects of the drug as soon as you inhale the substance. So that's what you're looking for. When you eat something, if you literally eat it, so say you had some cannabis brownies, you know, that had THC in them and you ate them, now you're looking at, it has to go through the digestive system. It's not necessarily going to hit you right away. You might get some effect if you if there's some absorption of the THC in your stomach. You're only going to get so much of that, and then some of the THC is going to go into the portal system, meaning your liver, which means you get that first liver pass. And once it goes through the liver, now you're going to metabolize a bunch of the metabolites, and it's not going to hit you as hard. So that's the downside of edibles. You kind of have to take more, but it's probably the safest way to go. But the safest, most effective way to go is probably to drop it under your tongue, you know, to get a good quality oil that's meant for oral consumption and then drop it under your tongue. That's what I do with my CBD oil. Just put it under the tongue and let it sit there. You let it sit there for as long as you can. Some people don't like the way it tastes because whether you're doing CBD or, you know, oil with THC and CBD in it, it tastes kind of funky. Tastes a little earthy. I don't mind the taste. I do really enjoy, I have a brand that I get that's a good quality nutraceutical brand that's flavored with green apple, and it has turmeric and green apple, and it's really good. So I enjoy that. So I guess the message here is it's a good idea to avoid vaping. It's not good for you. You could get lipoid pneumonia. It's bad for you, and it's turned out it's not any better for you than cigarette smoking. And if your thing is you're vaping cannabis, it's probably a good idea to find another delivery system.
Mm.
And there you have it. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. And I'd like to remind you that the ideas, views, and opinions that I have expressed today do not necessarily reflect the ideas, views, and opinions of the WHUS and the University of Connecticut. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM. WHUS Stores.